We take a day out every year to celebrate what has happened over the course of this year, to kind of reflect back, but also to discuss what's on the horizon for this coming year. And so, since Charlie is on sabbatical, I get the honor of being your MC today. So it's a state of the church address, if you will. I was thinking about this Sunday when I saw this tree in my parents' yard last weekend. It's not the greatest picture. I only took one, so this is the only option I had. But it reminded me of my Imago. It's surrounded, you can see this, my parents live on 5 acres of land. It's a place where I grew up loving the outdoors. I climbed quite a few of these trees. Now they're really large. I couldn't reach the branch that I used to be able to. I tried. I did climb a tree. You may have seen that on Facebook, but it wasn't this one. I probably would have broken this one. So here's what this tree reminded me of our church. It's young. It's full of life. Full of possibilities. There are some branches that are established. There are some things that it's doing, but a lot is yet to be shaped. You can see some of those big branches at the top. You know, they could bear a load, but then there's a lot of, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a lot of little branches, new growth, new initiations that are yet to see what kind of roots they'll take. It's survived some of the more trying times, the stages of growth, but there's a lot of life ahead of it. So 7 years is how old our church is. I don't know how old this tree is. Does anyone have a clue from looking at it? 7 years. It's confirmed. It's a 7-year-old tree. So, you know, this tree, it survived the first 7 years of its life. It's in it for the long haul, but seriously, like, maybe it'll be there for 100 years, and maybe we'll be here for 100 years. Officially, we bought this building around a year ago. So we're just early in putting roots down in this neighborhood. I'm just curious. How many people have been around for all 7 years? Raise your hand. All 7 years of our church. Thank you, guys. Seriously. Rock stars. Who has been around for the last 5 years? Who's been around for about 5 years? Another good chunk. Who's been around for about 3 years? That's me. Nice. Who's been here a year or less? It's kind of, there we go. Spontaneous claps. I like this. So what I love about our church is that we, even though we're 7 years old as an official church, we've got way more experience than just 7 years. That many of us have been around the block. Several of us have been around the block, 3 or 4 or 68 times. And I didn't get to poke fun at, what, how old are you, Steve? I didn't get to poke fun at you last night. You were gone. 43. 43. Some of you. So we are, even though we're young, I love that we're intentional with how we use our resources. That this tree right here is, I feel like we're wiser than this tree. It's a little crazy there along the trunk. It's, you know, doing a bunch of kind of scatterbrained. So around Imago, these are the three branches, main branches of ministry. So most of what we do falls into one of these three circles. When we're thinking about what are we going to put new resources to? What new teams are we going to start? What new initiatives are we going to start? We think through these three lenses and we ask which one is struggling, which one needs more time, more people, more finances. You know, trying to keep these all in balance because we believe these are the three things. And I feel really proud that we have a diversity of ministries and a lot of what we do around the church calendar, you can see in light of these. So I thought there's no better framework. This would be an excellent framework for how we go about celebrating all the things from this past year and also looking forward. So without further ado, mission. So this past year, a lot of things have happened in the category of mission. About a year ago, we planted that orchard. I couldn't find the exact date. I'm not sure if it's around a year ago. So, which still, the fruit is yet to produce on that. That was an investment. We bought Christmas gifts for about 30 children in foster care last year through the Forgotten Initiative. It was really great to bless them with things that may show them that they are valued and loved. We had our first ever Breakfast Club picnic. We do the Christmas banquet every year, and we're continuing to do that. But this was the first year. A month or two ago, we went to Grandview Park and had some 100 people, 100 guests, and volunteers just go out and play yard games, have fun. There's a guy that I sat next to. I don't remember his name. If I had to guess, it would be Alex. But he said that he had not had picnic food since 2003. And I thought, what a fun way to party next to people, you know, and to have and to be able to play some bocce ball. We started VBS this past year for the first time. That was on Wednesdays throughout the summer. And that went pretty well. We opened it up to our body and to anyone in the neighborhood. We also served 49 days of lunch through the summer food program. A lot of volunteers stepped up for that. I saw a lot of faces regularly in the building. That was fun. So the summer food program, we sent two teams to Honduras to build houses for people that didn't that were living in shacks. And we passed out fresh produce to our neighbors from our community garden and actually got to take advantage of an entire season of the garden this year. So that was really great. So on the horizon for this coming year, we hope to send at least one more team to Honduras, maybe two trips again. We plan to put down roots in the neighborhood further to, you know, that now that keep on investing, figuring out ways that we can serve our community because we want to be a people of mission. And we want to be a place of mission. And it's interesting because this year, more than ever, our building is being used for in ways that are beyond the scope of our everyday ministry. We have a group that's starting Young Lives, which is an offshoot of Young Life. It's for teen parents to be able to find community. We share our building. It's a polling place during general elections. Every once in a while, there are some worship nights, two-hour worship nights that Harold Green, his intention is to be a place where worship leaders can come and just be participants in worship and not have the pressure of leading the songs, but just to sing the songs to God. We, Resonate Church with Tim Reese, that you many of you know of, they use our building on occasion, and we recently started the Grief Share support group on Monday nights. And so we want to continue to find ways to be generous with not only our time and energies, but with our building and that get as many uses out of the building as we can to be a place of mission. So for there's several other things that are going on that are up on the horizon. I wanted Christina to come and share about some of the local ministries that we can look forward to.
Whoa, this is high. Hi, I'm way shorter than him. Okay, so some stuff that we have been doing. Dustin mentioned the garden, so we'll continue to do that next year. Hopefully we won't have a June that swamps everything out, but that'll be a really great way to continue to serve this community. We'll also hopefully keep doing the summer food program and find ways to find more families in the area who are in need of that service. Obviously, we'll keep going with our breakfast club. It's one of my favorite things that we do. If you've never come and joined us on a Sunday morning at 7 a.m., you should really do it. It's worth it. It's maybe not what you picture. It's really just a time to come together, eat together, talk, hang out. It's really fun. So I'd love to have you any week. Come join us. I'll put you to work or let you sit and eat some eggs. It doesn't matter. So we'd love to have you do that. But some new things that we have going on are we're going to try to do a Christmas event for the neighborhood here. We've done like a fall block party and an Easter egg hunt and a summer block party. This year, we're going to add a Christmas event where we do gingerbread house making. We're going to have all supplies on site and invite families from our church and from the neighborhood to come and make gingerbread houses. It's kind of like near and dear to my heart because my family is like big into contests. And so every few years we have a contest and I usually win. Anyway, so it's really exciting. And I'm excited about doing that here. We're also going to be doing the Forgotten Initiative. I knew that was going to happen. We're also going to have the Forgotten Initiative Christmas gifts again, where we're going to be able to sponsor some families who need help at Christmas time. And leading into that, we're going to have an opportunity to make journey bags for kids who are in foster care. So one of the situations that can happen is when kids are removed from their home, they might not have any stuff with them, and so they get sent to a new place, but the new place doesn't know how old the kid was going to be when they arrived. So it's not like they could have clothes and stuff on hand necessarily. They usually have a bed and the basics. So these bags are age appropriate. They're asked for by specific agencies in our city with items that make sense for that kid, and then they give the referrals to the Forgotten Initiative. They're going to give some of those referrals to us, and we're going to be able to pack those bags on a Thursday night coming up. So you'll hear more about specifics of what you can bring to help with that drive. It'll be a really cool way to serve that community. Let's see. Oh, I'm really excited about, we're going to be maybe restarting the Neighborhood Association and being a place for them to come. That's actually how we got a hold of this huge orchard for free, is the Neighborhood Association was super active when this previous church was in this building. So we're hoping, we've been connecting with some neighbors to be a spot for them to connect again, see what the real needs are in the community and lean into those, and hopefully partner with people here more, where it's not just us coming up with cool ideas, but really seeing what the needs are where we are. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. And lastly, we're going to keep going with the black bags. I don't know if you guys are aware. Sometimes we don't mention them very often. There's a table over here as you're coming in, and it's reusable black grocery sacks. And you can just take one any week, and when you go grocery shopping, fill it up with a few pantry items, let your kids throw some stuff in, and bring it back when it's full, and then a lady comes and picks them all up, puts them in her car, and takes them to food pantries that need them. As I've heard, is the need continues to rise in our community for food pantry items. And so anytime you want, just grab one, bring it back. It's a really simple, ongoing way you can be involved in impacting our community.
Thank you. So if you have any questions about that, I'm going to have several people come and share about different components of new things that are going on. So feel free to seek those people out after service. Moving on to the next circle, the next big branch of our ministry community. This one is near and dear to my heart. We've had incredible success this year. We experimented with some men's and women's events. Sheila helped lead those. Thank you, Sheila. So we had 5 women's events and 3 men's events. Really great turnout. So I think that told us that, you know, there's a good response, so we'll continue to do those in the future. We had 4 small groups during Lent. We try to lean into holy seasons and also provide spaces for people to journey through the holy seasons together. So this year we had 4 different groups meeting at different times of the week, and I think that was a really great, I've seen some long-lasting connections out of those. They were just short-term during Lent. We also had a youth lock-in. A dozen youth spent the night here, I think it was June, at the end of June 27th, and no one got hurt. So, did he? Oh, yeah, he did get, well, the leaders, you know. Anyway, so I guess that means we'll do it again. If no one got hurt, we'll just keep doing it. So we had 2 rounds of Suppers for 6. If you've been around for at least 6 months, you've heard me talk about that, or Charlie talk about that. It's a simple way to get to know people. 6 people gather in a home. Usually it's a potluck-style dinner, and you just get together, share food, drink, and conversation. And so those are always a gamble. You know, there's different personalities, you know, so it's like, let me encourage you to sign up today again, even if you've had some, you know, if it hasn't been a great connection, because the whole point is for it to just be a one-time thing. And if there's a great spark, awesome. If it's not, hey, you know some other faces that you can say hi to in the 7-minute meet and greet. So that is another thing we added, and as far as community goes, the 7-minute meet and greet. An opportunity to go and share your name with somebody, share your story a little bit, go grab some coffee if you get tired of talking to people. All is fair game. It's 7 minutes of space for you. We also, there was a women's group that went through a Brené Brown study that went really well, big success. She's the queen of vulnerability. And we had a church picnic, a churchwide picnic, where we had a food truck come out, Nacho Mama's food truck, and that was, I'll just say that the food was worth the wait, because some people waited like an hour and a half for their food. It was yummy, though. So what is on the docket for this coming year in regards to community? We have a women's group that's starting tomorrow. So short notice there for you if you hadn't been keeping up on the notes. It's in the notes. Courtney Verkler is leading that up. It's going to be Monday nights at 7:30. And they're going to go through the book For the Love by Jen Hatmaker. Awesome author. We'll continue with some of the things we've been doing that have been a success, like Suppers for Six. And there's going to be another SALT event, October 3rd. That's a group for people who are 40 and older. Good times there. That's in the notes as well. Part of the goal that we hope for this year in regards to community is to not only provide more avenues for connection, but to get better at communicating those avenues for connection. We do a pretty good job of listing everything in the notes, but some of you decide to decline reading the notes. So you don't know about the opportunities, and then you ask me, or afterwards you hear about something like, I just had someone ask about a men's event where like 40 or 50 people came to the men's event. So we thought like we got the word out, you know? So I want to apologize that we can get better at communicating the avenues for connection and meeting other people, because we hope that everyone gets, you know, to develop spiritual friendships and journey through some of the holy seasons together and grow in relationships. So we will get better at that. That's a promise. Take that as a promise. Along those lines, I want to invite Seth Benezer to share one of the opportunities for community that we have coming up here soon. Take it away.
I kind of forgot I was going to say something, and so I was desperately assembling my notes, and my head is in the back. All right, so I'm Seth, and I'm a theology nerd. I think theology sometimes gets a bad rap, because it can often end up, and I will admit to have been guilty of this, as a bunch of eggheads sitting around talking about interesting ideas that nobody actually cares about all that much. And have these big words, and then people bust out Latin, and it just gets weird. I mean, like, Imago Dei. I mean, like, really, who's ever heard of that? But I think that's really unfortunate, because at its best, theology is what we know about God and the things that he has given to us to know, to be instructed, and to be comforted. So, in the spirit of Imago Dei Church, a kind of quirky church with a slightly pretentious Latin name, going to start a group. I'm going to call it Credo. So we have a group with a slightly pretentious Latin name, which means, I mean, Credo means I believe. And so I thought it'd be good to start a group about what we believe. We'll be meeting twice a month, first and third Tuesdays at 7, because I don't think I could prep faster than that. And the plan is to work our way through the Apostles' Creed, to take it chunk by chunk and say, here's what we say. This is our church's creedal statement. What does it say? What does it mean? Where does it come from the Bible? And why does that matter? Not just in terms of what should you be thinking, but where are the elements of joy, comfort, instruction for us to take with us as we go to live out our lives. One particular note about this is that I believe, and this is shaped by the fact I have older children coming up, that Genesis is full now, but soon we're going to have a bunch of teens, and I think we need to start making spaces for our young adults as they step into adulthood. So while this is intended for, this is not a youth event, but anyone who is going to turn 16 during the school year is welcome. When I was that age, there was a similar kind of group in my home church that ended up being very formative, and I found it was really good for me to be around older Christians who were grappling with issues of theology in both in terms of their life and practice, and to see that play out. And they were instrumental in welcoming me into adult life, and so that is part of my goal. If you're interested, you can come grab me. I'm on security today, so I'm wandering around the back. You can sneak out for coffee and come talk to me if you want. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks for sharing, Seth. So that is one group that is open to anyone, and even teenagers. And so as new groups emerge, I want to help inform people about these opportunities. So I'm going to pass these clipboards around. And so one of the areas on the clipboard is actually interested in a small group. And so I'm not agreeing to find you a best friend, but what I am agreeing to is if you check that box, and I know of different groups that are starting, then you're going to be the first to know about those opportunities. And I'll email you or call you or whatever and let you know, hey, here's this thing that's happening this day. Would you be interested in checking it out? And then you can ask more details, or I can connect you with the leader of that group. So another great, this kind of toggles the line between community and spiritual practices, but in my mind, some of our adult classes are one of the easiest, best ways to connect with other people. They happen on Sundays during second service. So starting next week, we're going to have a second round of those. Holmes is going to come share about one of those. And we'll have, so this is one, you may have heard the announcement last week about the other one. It's going to be a church history survey, and it's not going to be boring. It'll be interesting, I promise. But Seth is going to help lead that, Dan Moore and Ted Rice. They're going to lead it by trio. And so there'll be two class options. Brian's going to share about the second option.
Starting next week, Steve Harris and I are going to be leading a discussion group during second service. We're going to work through a series that's called Unnamed. And each week we'll look at a different character from the Bible that would be kind of cast aside on the edge of society. They were people that were unimportant or scandalous or forgotten easily. And the fact the Bible doesn't even tell us what their name was, but they do tell us their story, and their stories are beautiful. So we're going to look each week and just see what God wants us to understand about how he looks at us and how we should be looking at the people around us through their stories. And one of the things that they did with this that I really love is they took each story and they created a video that puts that character in a modern setting and lets them tell you their story in a new way. Again, they're just beautifully done and really helped me to see them with new eyes, and I think it will spark a lot of discussion as we look through those two. So again, starting next week during second service, we're going to give you a little preview of what those videos look like during first service next week, so you have kind of a little teaser trailer to see if you want to check it out or not. So if you have any questions, you can talk to Steve or me.
Cool. Thank you, Brian. So both of those start next week. The one that Brian is leading will be meeting in my office, and the church history one will be in the Parkview Room, the fellowship hall. So last circle, spiritual practices. So this is a pretty broad category. It would encompass most of what we do here on Sundays, and also all of the ways that we attempt to connect with God, encounter God, and grow our faith, different practices that we engage in. It includes a lot of our volunteer ministry, since serving is a spiritual practice. This past year, we leaned into the holy seasons, and we always experiment with doing that in different ways. We took an in-depth look at the Our Father, the Paternoster. That was a series that we did. You can go back and listen to if you missed it. We talked about Big Tent. What does that mean? We had the practice to live out Big Tent recently, and I think we will continue to practice. What does it mean to be a Big Tent, a church with a diversity of opinions and values and theologies that are all striving to follow Jesus? And so we started that spark, kind of, you know, that coined that term this year. We learned about the life of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And we will return to that. We kind of took a hiatus on that. We had several guest speakers, including Addie Zierman, a favorite author, Peter Rollins, and Claire Lockridge. Claire was the one who led the workshop on the Enneagram, which maybe like 50 people went to, and there were some other people from outside the church that went to it as well. The Enneagram, you may have heard us talk about it. It's a weird-sounding thing, but it's really amazing. And it's an assessment, it's a spiritual assessment tool. And if you've not done it already, I highly encourage you to do it. Delving into it for me, leaning into it and becoming aware of who God made me to be and the ways that I deviate from that path and do truly follow the path has been the most transformational tool for me this year in my journey. And so I hope that it would be for you. It's a lot of people have talked very highly of it. So that was something that we will continue to integrate. We also started another group of the quarterly retreat groups, the formation communities. So group two started this past year, where they came and we went to a retreat center down in Springfield and learned about different spiritual practices that have been either practiced for ages that monks have, you know, done, or that were practiced even from the, you know, disciples or biblical characters. Or new ways of experimenting, ways to commune and communicate with God, and a chance to experiment with that. So on the horizon, we want to start a third group, maybe even a fourth group for those formation communities. Probably the deepest, truest spiritual practice opportunity in our church, in the life of our church. If you really want to lean into spiritual practices, I encourage you to, the next time we talk about it, we won't start until the beginning of next year, but just keep an eye out for that, because it's really been a good experience. I'm sure we'll have more people share about how it's impacted them. We're also going to invite Claire Lockridge back to do an Enneagram workshop part two. So because we know quite a few people missed that, then Charlie is going to lead a part one workshop before we do that. But so both of those things are coming up this coming year. And we want to do some standalone 24-hour retreats because we've heard from people that a 2-year commitment seems a little intimidating, or, you know, it's kind of like, what do you expect? You know, it seems weird to just sign up for this thing that's retreats, you know, where you don't know the people or whatever. So we figure a 24-hour retreat gives you the chance to get away, to learn about a new spiritual practice, and to get to try that. That's basically what it is. And you get to sleep in your own room. It's like a hotel room. And if you have kids, it's a good chance to get a full night's sleep. So just saying, there's perks. So we want to do that. Charlie will give the details on that. We'll probably do one of those early part of next year. But we also have quite a few changes in some volunteer ministries. So I want to invite a couple leaders to come up and share about what's going on new in some of our volunteers. So Sheila Graber, I'll have you go first and give us the, come on up. Give us the update on what is going on in Genesis. Sheila has been the interim Genesis director since Jesse left us to go to coding school, and she's been doing a great job. So I'll turn it over to her.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sheila Graber, and I am representing Genesis today. Next Sunday, we start back to our Sunday school classes during second service. We have a lot of changes we're going to try out this year, and I'll emphasize try out. If they don't work, we'll stop doing them and go back to what we were doing. But we do want to try a few new things. The thing I'm probably most excited about is our new curriculum. We're starting a curriculum by Spark House that's called Whirl. It is a lectionary-based curriculum, so the lectionary passage that's read up here will match what the kids are learning about in Sunday school that week, and I really like that connection across the whole church. So I think it's really going to help our children be rooted in the life of the church and the way that we do church here. So we will start with the season after Pentecost, and then this fall we'll conclude with Christ the King Sunday. So that's what they'll be working through this semester. Let's see here. We're also a few new things. We're adding a few new positions, or trying to add a few new positions. One really big change is that we're going to have storytellers. So if you're interested in storytelling, let me know. We're also going to try and have a floater position that just kind of helps things run smoothly and down the hallway. We're also going to maybe try and do some outside of church events for the kids just to help them get to know each other better so that when they come on Sunday, it's a little more of like looking forward to seeing your friends rather than half knowing the kids in your class. So, and we'd also like to try and start incorporating some service into what we do in there as well. So all of this will take a lot of help from all of you to get that up and running. And in order to carry out all these changes, like this is just a few numbers, we'll need 9 volunteers during first service and 14 volunteers during second every Sunday. So if you start doing the math, that's a lot of volunteers. And I don't even know if we have that many adults here. So that being said, we would love, love, love to have all of you partner in some way. There is something for all of you out there. And I even had one person tell me, will not name names, but I don't really like kids or something like that. Is there something I could do? And there are. Even if you don't really like kids, there are still things that you can do. So for the kids back there. So just let me know if you're interested at all. I would love to talk to you and figure out some way that you could help back there. I kind of a thought that Dustin helped me formulate is really the best schools have parental involvement. Like the, what is it, PTA or something like that? Anyways, whatever they call it. Anyways, because parents really, really, really are the main source of education for our kids, and it is no different in church. You parents are really the ones who do the spiritual formation for kids and know how you want your children spiritually formed, to be honest. So we want to come alongside you and help you in any way we can help your children learn about Jesus in the context of community. That's really what we're going to be trying to do back there. But your involvement as parents, it really does matter. So if you're a parent and you're not currently involved at all, we would love to have you. Not going to twist your arm and force you, but we would love to use your talents and what you're good at in any way that we can. Okay, if you currently volunteer in Genesis, could you stand up? Please? Okay, these are all of our current volunteers, and I just want to tell all of you, now I'm going to start crying. We really love you and appreciate you, and thank you so much. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's good to say this for the end.
Can we just give Sheila a special thanks? Because she's been volunteering so much time. She really has been devoting a lot of time. It's no one can fill Jesse's shoes, and she's doing the best job, you know, in the interim right now, and that she can. And she doesn't like her title of volunteer interim Genesis director, but she has earned it. I thought it was funny. So we're doing the lectionary passages, and the one Summer read was, it starts with, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers." That's a lie. We want you to become teachers, no, especially in Genesis. I thought that was fitting because it's the first week that the lectionary passages we're taking from the kids' curriculum. So it's ironic. But now I lost my train of thought. All right, well, forget about that. So the next area of ministry is music. Jeff Egan is going to come up and inform us on what's happening in terms of music. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Okay, so this is good. So the cool thing about what Sheila's trying to experiment and the Genesis team decided to do was by adding a floater position and a storyteller position, that hopefully it's less intimidating, that someone could come and just play with the kids, do crafts, and not have to feel like you're in charge of everything that's going on that day. And so it's splitting up the responsibilities a lot better. And I think, I hope that that's going to go really well, taking some of the load off. So hopefully that entices more of you to join. All right. Give us the update, Jeff.
I'm going to read to you. This is Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put his hand into the viper's nest and not get bit. That's not in there, but that's implied. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and the water as the waters cover the sea. That's the word of the Lord. It's just good to remember that, right? Like, this is what we hope for in the future. Okay, so I have to dispel a myth that was given to you by Charlie about a month and a half ago, that Jesse and I are not leaving, because we are. boom goes the dynamite. So that wasn't meant to hurt you or punch you in the face, but we are basically going to be living in Colorado starting in November. So I'll be the worship director for another 4 weeks. And most of you didn't know that I was that, or most of you just assumed that I worked full time at the church, like, depending on what you think. And so I don't know, anyway, so that means Well, here, we'll start with some review. I want to thank Daniel Beers, Danny Suter, and Laura Heinrichsen. Daniel and Laura, stepped up this year to help ease the load for leading worship, and Danny actually was able to step back and say, you know what, I love just playing music, so I'm going to do that. And so I just want to, if you would please thank both of them for what they've done. So that also leads to, I'm leaving, right? So that means, that there's two people that are leading worship and they live in Greenville and Galesburg. So there's a good chance that there won't be someone on a Sunday morning. So this is the encouragement to you on, as a community, to be open to whatever happens on Sunday morning, as we move towards whatever we're moving towards as a church. The second thing is on October 3rd, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're just inviting anyone who plays music to come and play music together. We want to find out if and where you fit, in playing music, especially if you play drums, or guitar of any sort, but drums especially. But bring any instrument, violin, piccolo, bassoon, or harp. It really doesn't matter. Or if you play the lyre, that'd be really interesting. I don't know what it is, but if you do, it's biblical, so we'll use you. What's that? Or if you sing, yeah, singing, anything else. So October 3rd, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, bring your voice or your instrument and come play with us. I don't really know if I was going to say anything else. Oh, yeah, here's one more thing. So on account of the fact that I am going to be, November 15th will be the last time I lead worship, even though I'm moving at the beginning of November. That's a whole other story. Two announcements with that, though. First is, not related to worship at all, but since I'm up here and I've got a microphone. So November 15th, we're doing an event here on Sunday night. It's called A Jew, a Muslim, and a White Guy Walk Into a Church. And that's associated with my other job. And so I want to just put that on your calendar, November 15th, 7 o'clock at night. It's really fun. It's a good event. And yeah, just putting it out there. Who knows? It might just only be in the notes for the rest of your life. So I'm saying it out loud to you. And then the second, it's through the Isaac Ishmael Initiative, which is the organization I work for. Isaac-Ishmael.us is our website. The other thing, since I'm taking off, I want to thank you for being awesome and for helping me figure out what it looks like to be a person that's guiding people into a journey on a Sunday morning. And also, we recorded some songs. And if you want to hear them the right way, as Sean Hayes would say, if you were sitting up here, you didn't play them the right way. If you want to hear them the right way, we recorded all of the songs that I've written for the church, and you can get them on Bandcamp. I think that's still in the notes. So you can download them at godspeedstmark.bandcamp.com, and please do that. We put about $1,800 of our money into it. Not Imago's money, like poor guy with the mismatched clothes and black socks on. So anyway, yeah, we'd love to just pay ourselves back and also give that to you as a gift that you have to pay for. So that's that.
Let's thank Jeff for all he's done for our church. Seriously. So Jeff said it for me, but to be completely authentic and open, we don't know what our plan is to fill those shoes, so we'll figure it out. We've got 2 months. Time's clicking. The clock is ticking. But we're hoping that some people will come out of the woodwork, that we don't ask too often for musicians or vocalists, and so we know that some of you are out there. So if you're interested, maybe it would just be once a month or once every other month. Whatever we're willing to work around your schedule, I think collectively we can help fill those shoes. And I don't know if, so he said musicians or vocalists. Also, if you're really awkward, that's a thing that Jeff provides for our church. So it's going to be less awkward with him gone. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. I'll have to talk more or something. I don't know. So, October 3rd, if you want to do a tryout, we'll say. Hopefully that's not intimidating. A tryout. So these three circles are the three main branches of our church. We've got a lot of things going on, a lot of good things that have happened this year. And we believe that these three circles are at the core of what it means to follow Jesus. And so if you really, the kind of the concept is there's in the middle is transformation, where all of these circles overlap and intersect, that lives are changing. And so if you really want to experience or have the best shot of experience your life changing at a soul level, try to engage in all three of these circles. That I think that that's your best shot of changing your life. So, I mean, that's the goal of our church, is to try and make an impact, not only in our community, but on our own hearts, to try and form into the image of Christ. So I want to specifically invite you into three opportunities, and I put them on the clipboard to make it easy. We've got Suppers for Six, which I talked about, small group interest, and just in a serve, just volunteer. So basically, you put your name, you put your email, and then check a box, one to three boxes. Hopefully, at least one you'll be able to check. But then I will follow up, or someone, you know, one of our leaders will follow up with you on those different areas, so that you know what's happening, and we'll go from there. So a lot has happened this year. It's been a really good year, and I just want to say that it's only possible through your generosity, your willingness to give of your time and your money and your energies to making all these ministries go, that you, that the church is the people, and the people fuel what we're doing in this community. And so I just want to say that I'm honored to serve alongside all of you quality people. Last night we had a volunteer dinner, and only about 70 people were able to make it, but I sent out 200 invites. So 200 adults serve in some capacity in our church. So let's give a round of applause for all of us, all of you volunteers, because you're rock stars. We have a ton of rock star volunteers who make it possible. I also want to recognize the leadership team specifically. If you're on the leadership team, would you please stand? So there are 10 people on the leadership team. This is a snapshot of what is in our annual report. It's nice and fancy. Sorry, I'm taking a small aside. Keep standing. And Becky Crowley put together the graphics for the annual report. You'll get them at the end of service. And Jamie Suter took the photography. But the 10 people there are listed. So if you see them, please thank them. Let's give them a round of applause for their diligence and their sacrifice to serve our church too. All of these people, they're meeting at least twice a month for meetings and then carrying out other tasks and responsibilities to lead and serve our church. So I love those people a lot. All right, so I want to invite Kevin Slutton. We always give a financial update at this time on Vision Sunday every year. And so he is going to talk about finances. Woohoo! Can I get a woot? Okay.
Oh, everybody's favorite part of Vision Sunday, obviously. I love what he just said about how the volunteers get involved in our church, and is certainly true on the financial side as well. One of our directives is that everything is spiritual, and that applies to every part of our lives. And this body of believers definitely lives that out with their pocketbooks. I did a quick search last night. There are 138 giving units. So what that means is that you roughly multiply that by two. That's, you know, that's a lot of, that's almost 300 people, right? And our average attendance is like 250 here. So, I mean, that the penetration, the amount of people that give to what we're doing at this church is really incredible. And on top of that, 29 of those 138 just started giving within the last year. So I'm very humbled, and I have the honor of seeing people's generosity. Sometimes it's a burden, but usually it's an honor, and I just want to say thank you for supporting the church with your resources so that we could serve you back and then also serve people outside of our walls, which kind of leads to if everything is spiritual, which I'm going to go on a little tangent because Charlie's not here, so I feel like I have to do that to represent. David actually asked me a great – we had Imago's story two weeks ago. And David asked me an interesting question because I was talking a little bit about how change is just a part of who we are. Like we seem to always be changing things and we're kind of change junkies, and Charlie's certainly a change junkie. And he asked me, he said, you talk about change a lot, but have the directives change or will they change? And I don't think I've ever been asked that question. I've been around the church from the beginning, and interestingly, six of us sat around a table, and then 10 of us sat around a table and refined them. But those five directives that we have haven't changed since we started the church, and I still love them. I still think they are just super true, and I thought that was really cool. So, okay, tangent over. So moving on to you guys are generous, and you take good care of your resources and put them in our hands. And so in this season of pruning, so you'll see in the annual report, Charlie writes a piece about how the orchard is new, and it's not going to produce good fruit for 2 or 3 years possibly. That's kind of where we are in our church, talking about the tree that is firmly rooted now, but we don't know exactly what we're going to produce here, being in this location with this body of believers. But this is a time of pruning and just looking at who we are and what we're going to do with this space that we're in. So the resource team and the leadership team this year looked hard at the way that we represent the finances and the resources of the church. And we felt like it was time to reexamine how we tell our story. So the story of the resources, if you remember going back, we had a four bucket system, and it's a very rudimentary, simple system, and that's because we didn't have any accountants on our team at the time. So we said, okay, we've got a bucket for staff, a bucket for first fruits, which is focusing on anyone outside of our walls. We've got ministry and operations, and then we've got facilities and equipment. Well, that really didn't tell the story of what this church is about. And what this church is about is ministering to the people in the walls and then ministering to the people outside of our walls. And so, as you can see, in the early days, the bucket system needed to exist because we had no idea where giving was going to go. Giving was kind of going like this, and so we didn't know how much money we'd have a year from now. Well, as you can see, in years 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, giving has kind of steadily increased. So now we're at a place where we can actually do real budgeting, like a real organization. And so we felt it was time that the bucket system might need to change. Because really what's happening is that 62%, really 72% of all the money that you give is going towards ministry. And some of that ministry, it includes salaries. So Dustin and Charlie and the Genesis director, that's ministry directly to the people inside of our walls. 10% goes to people outside of our walls. We call that the first fruits, and we've done that since the very beginning, and we'll continue to do that. But part of that is paying Christina's salary, because we've also discovered that just giving people who need help money isn't always the most effective way to do ministry. And so now we have someone fully dedicated to expanding the way that we serve people outside of our walls. So we just believe that the story is much better told with 72% of everything that we do goes towards ministry. And then, you know, we do want to plan for that rainy day. So we have established these reserve accounts. So we have an emergency fund of $15,000. We will have to replace things in this place, like the HVAC system and the roof and things like that. So we're starting to save for that. First fruits, we're still dedicated to the first dollar you give, first 10% of everything you give going specifically to serve people outside of our walls. So that will continue to grow. And if we don't spend our whole budget for the year, we'll roll it over to the next year and keep going. And then benevolence, that's for helping people inside of our walls. And then Honduras, That's another way that we serve people outside of our walls, and that is a fund that will roll over year to year as well. So we wanted to replace the bucket system, and we were going to go with three baskets, but that was already taken. So we decided to go a different route, and I'm just really excited about what's next. Some of the things, we bought this building within the last year, and that was for a bunch of nomads like we've been in our history. That was a really big deal. And it's a really big deal because I think we can grow strong and spread our branches throughout this neighborhood and throughout our community and throughout our world because of being firmly planted now. And I'm super excited about that. We've got some fun things that we hope to do. Part of the 28%, the facilities and administration that nobody likes to talk about because it's boring, but we did carve out a part for discretionary improvements. So nobody cares if we replace the air conditioner, but we've carved out a portion to do fun things like put in a bike rack or build a partition in the Parkview room or, things like that that maybe someday replace these beauties. So beauty matters in our context. And so things like that, we definitely want to keep our eye on, and we're committed to doing that. Finally, I did just want to thank the people that serve with me. We have an extremely talented and diverse team. So if I could have the resource team stand up briefly. Okay, so they're not here. I guess I should have calculated that before. Yeah, there's eight of us. And if you ever have any questions about our finances, it's an open book. Hey, there's one more. Thanks. There's our accountant. He's important. If you have any questions, our finances are open book. I might not tell you exactly what everyone's salary is, but other than that, we'll tell you exactly what we spend on everything. Yes. There are a couple ways to give. Thanks, Josh. There are offering boxes in the back. And then online is probably the easiest and what most people in the church do is they go on to imagodaychurch.org and there's a give button there and fireworks go off and everything's great. No, just kidding. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, Kevin. So to continue the tree metaphor, Kevin and Summer are one of the core roots that go deep in the life of our church that provide that foundation for who we are. So really special people. If you don't know them, they are worth knowing. So we keep comparing our church to a tree. Even Jeff's passage did. I liked that. Very beautiful. So we shared a lot of things that are on the horizon for this year. But in the end, question mark, we don't know what this year is going to look like. We don't know. Some branches will grow unexpectedly, some new branches. Some branches, hopefully, will grow wider and stronger and reach farther. And some branches might need to get pruned so that we can be intentional with the way we do our resources or to bring balance to the organization as a whole. And if you're newer to our church, I invite you to be part of the process, to join in the tree, the family tree. That's cheesy, but I mean it. There's another reason why this tree fits Imago. Because many of us have experienced seasons of darkness and death. And some of you might feel like you're on the bottom part of this tree, that you're this lifeless stump. And maybe that's where you feel like you are in life, or maybe that's where you feel like your faith journey is. This is actually at my parents' house. That's why I took the picture. But I just thought that captured some of the beauty that our God is a God who takes ashes and turns them into something beautiful. And there's a quote that has said that the arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice and goodness. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're the stump part of your faith journey, I believe that the faith journey, the arc of the faith journey is long, and it bends toward goodness. So you're not alone if you're feeling like you're in a season of death. So you're welcome here. As we close, just want to read what maybe the purpose statement of our church, that our goal is to be the church being formed in the image of Christ, living deep in community, and making an impact on our world. And now another year begins. May we be the church we wish to see in the world. So I will close with a short prayer from Ted Loader, our favorite written prayer guy. Praise be to you, gracious God, for this day, this earth, this life, and for the weave of miracles blessing us, and for your quiet power sustaining us. We praise you for times of laughter and tears, risk and reconciliation, reflection and healing, and for the stubborn presence of your Spirit making it all sacred. Praise be to you, awesome God, for the holy mysteries of our struggling and wondering, for our trials and triumphs, and all that moves us to awe, to love, to pray, to serve, since it is your Spirit that moves us so and is creating us still. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.